brothers? What I mean, what kind of brother
I'm
is he?
I'm not picky. I got three real brothers, so I've been called a brother my whole life.
Yeah, and where are you in line? Are you younger, older? What
right where I belong, number one.
Me
number
too,
one?
Boy.
Yep, right
me
where
too.
I belong.
Well, that's good. First in I order. Used to beat the living hell out of my brother every day, so you can be our brother.
Oh,
now,
man.
What do you think of that?
No, I'm not looking forward
See,
to it.
See, that's what I thought. I didn't think
not, not quite as much. It doesn't look quite as fun now.
Knowing that I've worked with the superstar every day, I was going to say, I don't think you want to be called a brother. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you don't
want we
that.
Call
we'll
you a brother.
A we'll give it a try.
Okay.
You're safe. You're safe. We love you here. Yeah, the Twins. Now they have been known historically in the past as the kind of franchise that will go out and drop some loot, especially if it isn't due to... And in the case of Brian Dozier, it was not. They had time still. And as Bud Grant would say, don't make a decision until you have to. But they went ahead and extended this.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
they came out good on this.
They own him for four more, they had his rights for four more years and decided to just lock him up and get some cost certainty. Basically decide what you're going to pay him instead of going to arbitration the next 3 years after this year. And it's an okay deal. I don't love it or hate it. But, you know, they went out and got it done.
My question for you, Brandon Warren from Cold Omaha and one of our writers on 105theticket.com. This deal doesn't make a lot of sense to me at all, and I think you wrote some of the pros and cons on your article on our website, by the way. Instead of paying him $500,000, basically what he was owed this year, we're going to pay him $2 million. Also in your article, which is something that I agree with, I think he has reached his ceiling. I don't think Brian Dozier is going to get that much better in order to have to pay him, I want to say, what is it, $7 million and $9 million the last 2 years
Six
of his
and nine,
deal.
Yep.
Six and nine. I feel like we overpaid for him, especially with the arbitration years left. So him being, I mean, 23 home runs, his batting average not that great, his on-base percentage pretty good, he walks a decent amount. Was he really going to get that much money in arbitration?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're shielding themselves from a good year up front, because the tough thing with arbitration is if you have that good year up front and then bad after that, you can't decrease the salary enough to make it worth your time. So the cost certainty, it's weird because typically when teams do these deals, they'll put options on the back end covering free agency years like Tampa Bay will do. And that way, if a guy is really good and you want to keep him, you can exercise those options or just pay him a little bit of money and you can buy him out if he's not good enough. So it's a little head-scratching that they basically went to the exact end of when they had his rights and said, well, that's it. No options, no added money. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Looking at this from the high end of what he could have made potentially had he had that kind of season, I mean, we asked that same question of Mike Berardino yesterday, and he said it could have been upwards of $12 million a year by the end of this thing.
Yeah, and once you get him out of the arbitration years and you look at free market going rate for a guy like that, yeah, you're talking $12, $14 million. The issue is he's a late bloomer as a four-year college player, and then he spent some time in the minor leagues, so he's not a kid. I mean, I think he's going to be 28 here in May. So, you know, you lock him up until he's 31, 32. Maybe you don't want to keep him after that. You got a bunch of kids that can play middle infield in the minor leagues, and maybe they'll do that.
Eddie Rosario, he's my favorite guy.
But mine too, by the way. I love him. But Dozier, though, he finds a way to just go ahead and pick up a bat and have that pull power to left field. That ball bat, 23 homers, that was never expected of him. And that's what we talked about also yesterday.
First among second basemen.
And every last one was to left field. And this is a guy who came out of college, signed for $30,000 in the eighth round. Senior sign means you're a senior. You can't go back to school, so the team can lowball you, get you for whatever they want, and give you a contract as a signing bonus, and bring you in. He turned himself into a great player. He absolutely deserves credit for that. But the power wasn't really there in college, and the on-base skills were kind of there. He's really rounded into a nice player. And like the Twins did with Hughes, they want to keep nice players around because it's been so ugly the last few seasons.
No, I think you're right. We're talking to Brandon Warren, 105theticket.com, part of our Cold Omaha writing team, about Brian Dozier and the four-year, $20 million contract. I think you said it well. It's neither a deal that should be applauded or derided with much fervor. It's simply just a fine deal. And you wrote down in your article, the Twins are doing one of three things. They're either banking on someone else being ready to take a spot after 2018, and there's Eddie Rosario, a big fan of him. I know that the Twins have been playing him a lot in center field this year. He can also play second base. Number two, banking on the idea that he has more or less peaked, which is what I think he has as well. Or number three, banking literally on the idea that they'll pay him what he's worth in a new deal between now and free agency, which I don't think is necessarily going to happen. So we can talk about this and we can have our questions and we can nitpick on this deal or nitpick on that deal. When it comes down to the brass knuckles, Bailey, the brass tacks here, the Minnesota Twins are spending money. They're keeping their own guys. We're not losing Brian Dozier to the teams like the New York Yankees. Lakers or the Boston Red Sox are being forced to trade him because we're going to lose him for nothing. The Minnesota Twins have become a player here in keeping their own guys and actually spending some money, and that's a good deal.
And it's a manageable deal if one of those kids forces their way up in the next 2 years. You can still flip him as long as he's playing at the same level. But I don't see a guy that has a much higher ceiling than what we've seen so far. I don't see that untapped potential in him right now.
I think it's a good thing because we always do gripe and complain about getting guys to a certain limit here, to a certain level, and then, you know, dropping them off and letting them go somewhere. I mean, Ben Revere or Gobot or a lot of these guys. Denard Span.
Love him. So cheap. We sent him in a long, cheap contract and then traded him.
Denard Span.
Loved him.
But anyway, we know what happens. I mean, this time, you know, I don't want to hear anyone talk about this kind of contract for this kind of player. We're bringing him up, we're keeping him, and we believe in the kids, so it's our very own. Let's lock him in.
Yeah, it sets a good precedent, and I think that's what the organization is interested in doing.
And you know what we're interested in doing right now, brother? You know what we're interested in?
We got to take a commercial break because we've got to introduce you to what it's like to be a brother to the Radioactive Sports Show.
Oh, yeah, man. You want to find out?
Get over here.
Okay.
This is gonna. I don't know. You had a concussion about 2 weeks ago, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, right. I'll be all right.
I think he's still concussed.
I'm gonna get pummeled. If you're reading this, it's too late.
Either that, or he's been drinking North Lakes Honey Brown Lager, which is our sponsor, by the way. We love him to death.
Brandon Warren, thank you very much for coming on. Join us again, will you please?
Absolutely. It's great to be here live.
Cold Omaha's writer, Brandon Warren.
Twins games with him this year.
It's going to be fun. I'm going to take some in with him, and he's going to buy the beer because he's my brother.
That's what I was going to say, yeah, because he's buying the beer.
That's right. That's what brothers do. We're here at Hubert's, though, for Wolves Wednesday. That's what we're doing down here at Hubert's. Thanks to sponsors Killebrew Root Beer and North Lakes Honey Brown Lager, both on sale, both on tap, both in Ben Holson. And I'm calling a cab for him because this show's over with him.
I don't do cabs anymore. I do Uber. It's a new thing.
A little Uber ride?
Uber.
Okay, we'll get you an Uber car.
Little
Uber driver. Come on back, everybody. What do we have next on the list? Let's just play around with Jay-Z. Jay's a go-to lookout. Is he in the house today? He said he might come down.
I talked to him
already. He might come down, but he's got to head to Houston, so he thought he might stay at home for this one. We don't know.
Houston?
He's heading that way. He's going to.
No, I talked to him already this morning. He said he's going to come by for two segments. We're going to talk Timberwolves.
Well,
we're going to talk this and that.
Sounds to me like his tune has changed.
But he had asked if we could have the appetizers here and if somebody could be eating the appetizers and if he could watch them eating the appetizers. He's kind of a weird guy. I love him to death.
He's a strange guy.
I mean, but it fits in nicely
with us
because
he's not a brother.
We're nuts. He's a brother.
Jerry is?
Like a brother or a brother?
A brother.
I don't know. I'm sure he is. We'll have to ask him.
We can ask him later on if he ever does show up. I think he will probably not.
No, he will.
He's afraid of us. Come on back, everybody. Jay-Z next.
Get your Twins inside update every weekday. Hardball with Mike Berrettino of the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
Paul Molitor is not looking to skip the fifth rotation spot.
You don't really need that guy if you keep, say, Phil Hughes on a every fifth day turn. And he said he's not tempted to do that. He likes what he's seen out of the fifth spot.
Hardball with Mike Berrettino. Brought to you by Nature's Fury NutraDrink. Every Monday through Friday afternoon at 5:30 with Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
Guys, we're tired. I wish I could tell you that, you know, we got 19-year-old guys that are used to playing. Right now, they're in the 68th game, 69th game, and they're playing a lot of minutes, and they're playing in situations, and they're, you know, but what happens is you get a little tired, and you lose some of your concentration. You only got so many timeouts to use. You're trying to let them learn how to play through some things and try to get a little bit better.
Well, I think it's safe to say that he's trying to get these young men some playing time, as if though the first half of the season wasn't enough, we find ourselves with pretty much the same clan gathered together tonight against the Lakers. It will be pretty much the same thing, and let's not call it what we tried to call it, or not us, but certainly some people did in the media. And Flip Saunders blew up on Jerry Zagota, our guest. And
not on Jerry, but to Jerry.
To Jerry, but he was. You asked him the question, and he replied to you that way, did he not, about the other guys?
I'm not even sure if there was much of a question. Usually he comes out and takes the first question. He just kind of came out and blurted it out.
But he wasn't even in the press conference. He was in the hallway coming from the court to the locker room, is what it looked like.
Well, that's where he does it. He'll come come right out there. So, but basically, he came out, and it was on his mind. I mean, it made for a good story because, you know, how often do you see a guy who coaches a team in overtime being pissed, being ticked off afterwards?
Yeah, no kidding. But now, Flip has been through so much of this kind of thing, and he knows what everyone does this time of year. If they have a team in the playoff hunt, they need to rest some players, maybe perhaps going into the playoffs and give them some time. Or they have what we have, and that's sit everybody down who's nicked up, keep them off the floor, keep them healthy, a lot of money invested up front, get the kids some more playing time. Why do you think he reacted the way he did?
Well, I think it's a case of, you know, he didn't hear what those guys said. All he was reacting to was whoever texted him.
He said 25 people texted him.
Yeah, I don't know. He may have embellished a little.
Exaggeration.
But a little. But you know how that stuff, you know.
For sure.
It's like guys who say, you know.
Telephone.
It's like all these guys who tell us, you know, we never read the paper, but they always know what was in it.
Of course.
And it's sometimes, if they don't read it, it's sometimes a different version than what you actually wrote.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, I'm sure it was a little bit. But it's funny then how people go and twist it. Like I go on the internet yesterday, and, you know, he said at the end of it, you know, if you say that at ESPN, you get fired. So people with blogs wanting to get clicks. The headline is, Saunders wants Jazz broadcasters fired.
Of course, yeah. That's how media works. That's how you writers work. You're so shifty. Just kidding.
Manipulative.
Jerry Zagoda, the Timberwolves beat writer. Thanks for coming here on your day off to talk Timberwolves basketball, the Lakers here at Target Center. I was going to ask you a question. It's a completely different team with Hamilton and it was McClintock. That's an old John Wayne movie. Not McClintock. What's his name? McCormick?
You got me.
It's McClintock.
Who's the guy that's on? They got him. He's a train right away in Toronto. What's that kid's name?
Oh, Kilpatrick.
Kilpatrick. That's what I. And then Payne's here. I mean, it's a different team, but at the same time, we got calls the other day when we had you. I think it was yesterday that the San Antonio Spurs sent their big players because they're old down the stretch sometimes. Not because they're tanking, but because they want to rest them and they're a little bit older and they're playing for different things that the Minnesota Timberwolves are. We talked yesterday that I think that what Flip Saunders doing is a form of tanking, but he's going out there and with the players that he does have playing balls out and trying to win the ball games. But it's hard to do when you've got Zach LaVine and Andrew Wiggins and all these guys that are really young. Andrew Wiggins, though, Flip Saunders said a couple of weeks ago, and we've talked about this, that he's not going to run any plays for him anymore. He's got to find his own spots. He's got to find his own points. He's got to do his own thing because that's the next step in the growth for Andrew Wiggins. If Andrew Wiggins had been playing like he has this last month through the rest of the season, and Mirotić from the Chicago Bulls have been playing the way he's been playing this last season, don't you think it would be flip-flopped and Mirotić would be the favorite to win the Rookie of the Year award?
Probably, if only because he's playing for a team that were, you know, they're playing for something meaningful. They're headed towards the playoffs. You know, I think that would probably give him the edge. You know, and he's been playing great the last month. But the fact that he's playing on a team that, you know, where he's had to fit in with a lot of other good players, I think voters give, you know, a certain credit to that for teams that are on good teams, valuable players on good teams, rather than a guy who's, you know, putting up good numbers here, but Antina's going nowhere and is getting more opportunity.
And so. I'd say he has a top three beard in the NBA. I'd say Chris Kaman's up there. Don't you think? Chris Kaman's still rocking that beard.
I'm trying to think who else.
James Harden.
Well, obviously, is amazing.
That's the beard.
Yeah.
And but that one Kamen's John Wayne guy, that Rooster Cogburn guy.
Yeah, and McClintock. I mean, John Wayne.
Yeah.
That guy is amazing. I don't know if you've ever heard of him or not. He can shoot a rifle pretty well. Pretty good.
Well, all I know is when you were making reference to John Wayne movies and you lost me, we should have bring, since he's not playing tonight, we should bring Peck in here. Because I find out something new. Every night I find out something new, and the other night I found out that Peck was raised on Westerns because his dad loved him.
Me too.
Yeah, so.
I had to watch those on Saturdays or Sundays or whatever.
How funny
is that? My mom watched Gunsmoke and all this stuff, and it was black and white. I'm like, Mom, what are you making me watch this crap for? Now that I'm older, though, I am so grateful because I can shoot anybody in the face and not feel bad about it.
And his favorite is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And I made some comment on Twitter about, you know, he loves American Westerns. And someone corrected me, is that Italian? Is that actually a spaghetti Western?
It's a spaghetti Western. They were filmed in Italy for much cheaper than they could here in the United States with Clint Eastwood. Spaghetti Westerns. Peck was brought up on those.
Yeah, he can tell you all about...
In Montenegro.
Yeah. He kind of got a little of each one of those, too. He got a little good, bad, and ugly.
Go over
and say that to him.
Here's the thing.
I'm afraid of him.
What kind of language do they speak in Montenegro?
Well, they take it. I don't know. I'll get my ignorance. I'm sure I'll get probably someone to call in. But it's Serbian, Croatian. I mean,
is it Montenegrin?
Well, I think that I think that's actually probably a dialect. Now they have what they call their own languages, but they're all a version of like what was the original Serbian.
Correct.
I think.
Sure.
So it's like I was reading someone about the other day about a guy from Croatia and Texas, basically just a different dialect.
Justin
Hamilton, who speaks a little bit because he his mom's from Croatia and he spent a year there when he was 10 years old.
Wow, that's where all my people are from. I'm Croatian.
Yeah. Wow, they're all satellites of Russia on the west coast of Russia, right? All those places, aren't they former Soviet satellites? You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy. Am I the only guy that studied geography back in the day?
Apparently so.
It was all part of Yugoslavia, so yeah.
Yeah. And then so many players, obviously 8 out of 16 of the players that the Timberwolves have been injured and not playing. Anybody's playing tonight? Kevin Garnett?
Justin Hamilton's playing tonight. No Garnett, no Rubio. But
no Martin still.
Hamilton went down to Rochester on Monday and got cleared. You know, they had listed it as headaches, which people thought, you know, what headaches. He had gotten kneed in the head a week ago, so
concussion-like symptoms.
He had to go down to Rochester to get cleared. And but as far as I know, although Flip did say before the game tonight that KG and Rubio will play again this season. They're not done for the year, but it's probably not going to be tonight.
Minnesota Timberwolves beat writer and with the Star Tribune, Jerry Zagoda, our guest. Thank you, Jerry, so much for your time.
No, he's staying.
Oh, are you going to do another segment?
Unless you gave
me the old rap, and I thought, well, my God,
so
what are we going to do this guy?
We're going to take a break right now.
Well, let's just take a little break.
But I think you had a chance to sit down with Christian Laettner.
Yeah, on Saturday.
Yeah, let's talk about a little bit of Christian Laettner coming back home.
Let's do that then.
And Christian Laettner say about Minnesota, and I mean, when he left here, he sounded like such a biatch when, you know, going around pointing at teammates saying, you're a loser, you're a loser, you're a loser, I'm a winner.
He tried to clear it up a little bit, too.
He has no recollection of it.
Of course he doesn't. Then the I Hate Christian Laettner 30 for 30 on SportsCenter the last weekend, I think, too. And so many questions. That was a great documentary. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, Sue. But
I thought the clinic was pretty funny this past weekend,
yeah.
And how he tried to smooth things over and just asking for the benefit of the doubt. We'll talk about all that next segment coming up with Jerry Zagoda, and that will happen right after the break.
Minnesota Sports Radio, 105 The Ticket.
I love coming up here. I got family up here. It's one of my homes. I got history up here. I used to live in Stillwater. I used to live in Mound. I married a girl from Mound. So I just love Minneapolis. I love spending time up here. I love muskie fishing in the summertime. So every time the T-Wolves ask me up, I come.
The great one, the legend.
No.
Member of the Dream Team, the first ever Dream Team. Christian Laettner. You're a loser. Loser.
Well, I'm all aware that I'm a loser. Yeah.
Right. We're back. Well, Jerry Zagoda joins the show, and we're more than happy to have you for two segments, sir. You're Jay-Z.
Are you going to point to the other side and call me one, too?
No, I know where to stop. I know where to start, too, obviously.
Well, the question that I've heard, or that I'm thinking after hearing that little spot from Christian Laettner over the weekend, why would you play for the Minnesota Timberwolves and live in Stillwater? And then decide to move to the complete opposite end, almost to the other side of the state, to move to Mound?
I have the answer to that.
Oh, great.
Well.
When the lottery in 1992 went out to New York, you know, it was the whole Shaq lottery. Runner-up gets Alonzo Mourning after that. Doesn't matter. Two-player draft. Right? Yep. Wolves get the third pick of the lottery. So on the way home, I went to Buffalo, New York, and spent 3 days at his, like, high school, and went to his house, sat with his mom, talked to, you know, all his friends and stuff, and so I did a story without actually ever talking to him, but I remember going to his high school and talking to his, I think it was, she was his advisor and one of his teachers, and she said, you got to know two things about Christian. One, he thinks he's black, and two, he thinks he's a comedian, and he's neither. He doesn't like anything that anybody else likes. So he was like really big into rap and all that and hip hop back then. So he always had to be kind of the different guy. That's probably why he lived in Lake Elmo, Stillwater. I think he lived on Indian Hills Golf Club, actually, or near it.
So
just
far,
because,
I mean, you can't get
because.
Any farther away yet not being in Wisconsin than there. I mean,
yeah.
It's not like he's anywhere close to being at Target Center.
Yeah, I just think he marches to a different beat, and Lake Elmo slash Stillwater is a different beat.
Did you ever talk to him about his terrible haircut back in Duke? Because I used to have that haircut back in the day where you'd have, like, the two different levels, but then the back would come down to a V a little bit.
All they talked about in that 30 for 30 was his good looks, so he must have wore it better than you did.
Jeez. Poor Bobby.
Well
Curley.
Put. Well put. I would say that he was a slick customer. He was kind of smooth, but at the same time very quirky, very strange.
He's still an odd dude, but he's certainly different than he was 20 years ago. I mean, he has some perspective. He's got a sense of humor about it. It was funny when I asked him about the loser, 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 loser winner story, and he claims not to remember it, but didn't say it didn't happen. It very well could have happened, but he doesn't remember it happening. But he does remember that it wasn't in front of teammates.
It
wasn't. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't. I don't think he would have. I think someone would have clocked him if he had done. If you're in a locker room and you go through it and you go, loser, 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 doesn't someone deck you?
Well, this is basketball we're talking about.
If you really truly mean it, if you really think that you're that guy in the locker room and everyone else but you is not doing their job, You might cause a ruckus.
But yeah, what kind of guys was he playing with back then? I don't remember exactly the team. Was that J.R. Ryder?
I don't remember what year it was, but it would have been, you know, I don't know if it, I can't remember if it was early in his, or late.
J.R. Ryder.
You know, his first years.
J.R. Ryder would have cut him.
His first years were Chuck Person and Michael Williams. And
the Rifleman,
kind of
Chuck Person. You know, I think you're right.
And then he got J.R., and then eventually, you know, his last year, KG comes along, so.
That's right. That's right. Sam Mitchell was not here. Where was he?
Sam went in the trade that brought the Rifleman.
Yeah.
That's right.
So the Timberwolves obviously bringing back Christian Laettner because, you know, doing some work. He likes to coach. He's doing these camps. Why don't the Timberwolves bring him back more often and make him a featured part of the team as a former member of the team? I mean, he was one of the higher draft picks in team franchise history, obviously. And Derek Williams, I think, was the only one higher than Christian Laettner, who had a monster dunk last night, by the way, on one of the top plays on SportsCenter. It was amazing. Derek Williams.
They'll bring guys back occasionally, but they don't feature him all that much. I mean, guys like Tony Kemble, really, there isn't much of a history here other than KG to bring guys back. But, you know, they'll do that occasionally, but they don't do it. You know, they don't really revel in it and do it all the time. And, KG, with Laettner, the thing that was great was, you know, he's relevant again because of the 30 for 30. They could do it the week after that came out. There's some buzz to it. And, you know, you go in all these campers, they're kids, third, fourth, fifth grade. They don't know who Christian Laettner is, but the parents do.
For sure. Why is it, you think, that he came out of Duke, maybe one of the most heralded collegiate players of all time, maybe for the shot, for at least the shot, but he was a great college player. I mean, what was it in the transition between college and pro that apparently never really did sink in for him to become a great pro?
Well, you know, he wasn't a great pro, but he had a better career than people think he did. People think he was like a bust. But, you know, he played 11 years, played in one All-Star game when he was with Atlanta. He played with a lot of dysfunctional teams for one reason, which isn't the whole reason. But two, you know, he was never, that's why it was considered a two-player draft. You had O'Neal and you had Mourning. And then there were still questions about Laettner because was he athletic enough? You know, how would his game translate? And then you get a guy like Gugliotta out of North Carolina State who was probably the better pro, at least at the better seasons, who was just a different kind of player. Didn't have the career that Laettner had, basically because Laettner was at Duke and Laettner was just a cold-blooded killer. And, you know, if he had been with better players, maybe that kind of player would have come out, you know. But he wasn't. He was playing on teams that were lousy and they were getting their heads kicked in.
But he made the dream team. I'll be darned if he didn't make the dream team.
Well, and he carried the bags.
What a joke.
I still can't believe that. Christian Laettner was
nobody
on the
else
dream
can
team.
Either.
Pretty funny, though. Jerry Zagoda, thank you very much for joining the show.
That's two segments already.
I told you it was going to be quick.
Time flies.
It does.
Thanks for coming down. I appreciate having your day off.
All right.
Jerry Zagoda, Star Tribune, beat writer, Minnesota Timberwolves. And now, next up, I think we're going to go back into whatever, the Mike's grab bag.
Oh, great.
And I think that's what we'll end up doing.
It's so slimy in here.
Oh, trust me. We'll talk about the good times down here and what we can expect from the T-Wolves versus the Showtime Los Angeles Lakers. And we'll do all that right after the break.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
If you put on 23, you put Jordan on your back. And that's what Zach LaVine did. He really lived up to the moment.
In one of the biggest stages in basketball.
Passionate sports talk on your sports station. 105 The Ticket. Radioactive sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
You named the band?
Well,
I mean, you always know when it's Mike's break.
Because AC/DC is playing?
No, Green Jelly's playing. Three Little Pigs.
Dave Pye, back in the studio, is doing a heck of a job today. And he listens. He's intuitive. It's almost like he's one of those, you know, what do they call him?
He's a savant. Women? A bit of a savant.
Women that actually listen to the words that we say and pick up and remember things.
Yes.
He's picked up and remembered your favorite bands, and he's playing them for your breaks, which is very kind of him. He is, he's amazing.
He knows what he's doing. We brought him up right. He was really, really bad. He was really stupid and dumb and very ignorant.
Yeah.
And then we just polished him and just kept... That's terrible.
Just a buffoon.
He's crazy. But he's turned out to be a heck of a guy. And he's gone straight from Cow Pie to David C. Pie almost overnight. And
now Hellboy is what Bobby calls him.
Yeah.
Hellboy. Because he raises hell, I guess.
Ah.
Makes Bob's life a living hell, is what Bob says.
C. Pie, do you raise a lot of hell?
I do my best.
Buddy.
Well, thanks for the music. A little Green Jelly for everybody. It's starting to heat up down here a little bit. You got a lot of people walking in down at Hubert's. That's where we are, shooting live from Hubert's. We're live. Ben just died.
Ben just now died.
We're down here at Hubert's Sports Bar and Grill, brought to you by our very good sponsor,
Cheerleaders,
Killabrew.
Cheerleaders!
Wow.
Sorry, I get excited.
He lost his mind.
When I see cheerleaders, I get real excited.
Our sponsors are Killabrew Root Beer and, of course, North Lakes Honey Brown Lager.
And
they're both here on tap, and they're both on sale.
What's that,
and here, Ben, go ahead. I mean, you're losing your mind. Go ahead.
Hi, ladies. They don't care.
Keep going. You're not done.
That's all right.
Look at picture day with the cheerleaders right here in front of our very table. And so
they got to go.
Nicely done. Anyway, very nicely done. I think it's heating up. I think Showtime's out there right about now. They must be shooting around a little bit and warming up.
Are you
Showtime?
Talking? Who? What?
Showtime's out there.
Cheerleaders?
I guess so.
I love the cheerleaders.
Of course you do.
No, they're not Laker girls, but they'll do.
I think Showtime's out there shooting it around, probably warming up right now.
I just made a buffoon out of myself. That's normal. That's normal for me. That's what I do.
That's all right. You're doing great. You're really good at that. I would say...
What about a girl that should be a cheerleader?
Which one?
All of them. I love everybody. I tell you lately that I love people.
You know what? Funny how it goes. Sometimes... I've been told that you hate people.
We've got to take a
almost
break.
Every single time. We have to take a break right now, do we? Okay. How about the Cleveland Browns and Atlanta Falcons reportedly found out about the discipline the NFL plans to exact them for various rule violations during the league's owners' meetings?
Makes sense, but whatever happened to Deflategate? Whatever happened to the New England Patriots?
I want to know why it happens to the damn Browns and the Falcons.
You know why? Because Robert Kraft, because Roger Goodell is in the back pocket of Robert Kraft, or maybe it's the other way around. But anyway, Robert Kraft, Roger Goodell is a little poodle, little lap dog when it comes to Robert Kraft, who obviously Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, he can get away with anything he wants to. They're a storied franchise. They just won the Super Bowl. When it comes to the Atlanta Falcons, Arthur Blank's the owner of the Falcons, still a pretty prestigious guy when it comes to being an NFL owner. And Jimmy Haslam, just a disaster when it comes to the federal court he's going to be charged. I think he owns Pilot, too. Pilot, those gas stations.
Yep.
Did you hear about this? That the Tennessee Titans are thinking about selling the franchise. And Jimmy Haslam is going to switch franchises. He'll buy the Titans, and then the Cleveland Browns will go up for sale.
Up for sale.
What is that? Why does that make any difference or make any sense to you?
I have no idea. But I know that if he sells an NFL franchise, there will be takers. Who doesn't want in on an NFL franchise? There are a lot of people standing in line to get one.
He's completely destroyed the Browns, though, in the, like, 2 or 3 years that he's owned the team.
Easily. But the money he can make from selling the Browns, he can buy the Titans. And that would be no trouble.
Huh.
Because that's what kind of money it is. It's like Sterling having to sell the Clippers. I mean, it's money. It's guaranteed money. It's in the bank. You can almost double on your investment if you sell it.
Or do you think that he just gets the Tennessee Titans and then the Titans owner gets to sell the Cleveland Browns and whatever profits made there? That's what he gets. I mean, it's going to be something like that, isn't it?
I wish I could.
Too much money.
That's a huge deal.
I deal in quarters and dollar bills. These guys deal in $1,000 bills and $1 million bills.
Oh, God. And really, franchises are just just fun and games. They're just fun and games for the kind of money they own and operate in real estate and other investments and companies and businesses outside of the NFL. I mean, it's just a toy.
You know what's sad about that? Is that for these guys, it's a toy. For me, it's my life. Isn't that sad?
It's all of our lives. Trust me. No. It was mine for 13 years. Huh. But anyway, I just thought I'd let you know that, you know, the Browns are in more trouble along with Atlanta.
What are they going to be penalized with? Does it say?
It doesn't say, but they're in for some serious, it says, serious discipline.
Well, what's serious discipline,
for,
though?
For rules violations and, for what they did, number one, is messaging to the sidelines about play calling during games before it was actually was revealed.
Yeah.
And that was with Cleveland. And
supposedly, some of the front office people were texting people down on the sidelines about the bad play calling of Kyle Shanahan, I think it was.
That's what it was. That's why he got out of there a little sooner. He departed. They allowed him to go.
It's a mess in Cleveland.
It really is. I don't know what they're going to do.
The Falcons getting in trouble for doing what the Vikings have done for years and years and years, though they would never admit to it, pumping in fake crowd noise.
It's an amazing thing when you think about it. But with the Dolphins in an open-air stadium, pumped in crowd noise, I'm sorry, it's not that big a deal. But when you put it in the Metrodome, that had a perfect lid for just nothing but noise. And, I mean, we drove people crazy with that.
It was awesome.
Oh, wait, we didn't do that.
As a fan, I absolutely loved it. On TV, at the games, whatever, the louder, the better. And it was fake. Let's just be honest.
No question about it.
Everybody knows it was fake. It's a myth. It's an urban legend, but it's true.
Of course it is.
Everybody in Minnesota knows that that's the case.
Of course it is. And I think everyone else does, too. We're going to take a little break. Another last break, and next we'll come back with the sillier side of sports and Ben Holston and myself acting a little silly doing the sillier side of sports, along with a true superstar, just to settle things down and finish on a good note, a well-thought note. And we'll do that after this.
Do you live for hunting and fishing? Tune in to Ticket Outdoors with Brian Zepp.
If you are still wanting to buy a turkey license for the state of Minnesota, if you're thinking about just casually doing it the next day or that evening, I would not wait that long.
I thought you were going to buy a license because it doesn't make any sense to me, because if I'm wearing camouflage, the game warden won't know who I am anyway.
Yeah.
Do you see me?
Ticket Outdoors, presented by Dan's Southside Marine. 2 hours every Wednesday at 7 on 105 The Ticket.
Taking it home, sillier side of sports. You are the superstar, Mike Morris. You are the love of my life, the sparkle in my eye, the bane of my existence. Oh, no, wait a second. I didn't mean to say that last part. Anyway. Excuse me.
Honestly, I can
got
barely breathe.
In my throat?
Can you get off my lap? I can barely breathe.
Well, you're the one that asked to hold me like a baby. He said, you just look like a little baby. I want to hold you like a baby.
I just like to
just nice.
Pinch your cheeks.
Right.
Both sets.
Yeah, appreciate that. Thank you.
A strange thing to say on a show, but it's the sillier side of sports. We can get silly if we want to,
for sure.
But for real, get off my lap.
You love food? I love food. Oh, we talk about food often.
I love some son of a bitch and food. I love food.
No need to swear, but we love food here at Radioactive Sports.
Nasty when I talk food. Yeah.
Wow. So we thought it was important to tell you that the Brewers are putting nachos on a stick. And we talk about sports stadium food often. The Brewers.
Probably more than we ought to, but we love food.
Yeah. This lovely package, packed with taco meat
package.
And crusted with Doritos, before being topped off with melted cheese, sour cream, and salsa. We've sold nachos before, but some people don't want to get messy, said Jamie Hodgson, general manager at Miller Park Hospitality Fair Concession Stand, Delaware North.
Huh?
She said, I don't even have any idea what that meant. She said, quote, this is going to be the big seller because you can eat this in one hand and have a beer in the other. People don't
that's
need
thinking.
To. But that's the thing in Wisconsin.
Thinking.
They have beers in each hand. That's the problem.
Those are the five-year-olds.
Kevin, no kidding. Kevin Love, we've been talking about him a lot.
Why do we have to?
Because he's a biatch.
Of course he's a biatch.
Took a subtle shot at LeBron James with his endorsement of MVP for Russell Westbrook.
What's wrong with Kevin?
James brushed off Love's comments, saying, I think Russell Westbrook's been doing his numbers, been crazy, keeping those guys afloat in the West in this play. Steph Curry can make a lot of, can make a case for sure. James Harden and himself so well. So Kevin has his own opinion on who believes is the MVP. No one should fault him for that. Love made the comments yesterday after being put on the spot to pick either Westbrook or James for the MVP award. Love said, quote, I would just say because of time spent on the court, Bron took those games off and those couple of weeks off. They're both having MVP-type seasons, but I think Russ is arguably better this season. whether he is or isn't, shouldn't you always be rooting for your teammate? I mean, love is a douche. I'd rather that the Wolves lose every single game for the rest of the franchise's history than ever have that dumbass back here in a Wolves jersey again. In fact, he and Adrian Peterson should go together and go screw themselves. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that.
You can say that. I think you can say it. Or you can just say they can both blow it out their ass.
Okay.
I like to say that, too. But you don't answer that. You just don't. I mean, if
you say Braun, right? I mean, he's your teammate.
I mean, or just walk away from it a little bit. Dance around it and just say, you know, those are both great, great ball players. I mean, you can't make the wrong decision with either of those two. If either one got it, it would be probably the right decision. Just leave it alone. Go neutral. Just dance on it. If you're a teammate of his, you don't have to answer any question. You can say, no, thank you. Next question. That was Denny Green. We're not going to answer that. Next question. We wouldn't talk about that. Next question.
I mean, it's week after week after week. We talk about it in the sillier side of sports often that Kevin Love is putting his foot in his mouth or saying, woe is me, or I'm not fitting in on this team, or LeBron James is calling him out for saying, dude, it's not hard to fit in. Just try not to fit out all the time.
That's right. And that was good advice. I mean, LeBron, no matter what you think of him before or after the big decision to go down to Miami, when he speaks, he speaks his mind pretty clearly, and it's smart. Normally fairly accurate. I think he is sharp. He's very sharp.
Me too.
And I think that he probably has not said too many things to insult many people since the big move. Now the move back, I think he's in good graces. His career has settled down.
He's settled down.
He's back and he's at it.
I love him to death, just like I love you to death. My buddy boy, superstar Mike Morris, please come back tomorrow. Obviously, the show would be nothing without you. I appreciate the fact that you let me ride your coattails every single day, and I mean it. Mike Morris, take us home.
I'm going to take it home. We're going to do a true superstar to finish this thing out, okay? And then you can enjoy your basketball game this evening versus the Lakers. Marine Staff Sergeant Christopher Diaz is my chosen true superstar, my warrior, 27 years of age, from Albuquerque, New Mexico. He died September 28th in Helmand Province, Afghanistan, while conducting combat operations there. He was assigned to Headquarters Battalion, Marine Corps Air Group Combat Center, 29 Palms, California. He was just 27 years of age. Marine Staff Sergeant Christopher Diaz is my true superstar today. Please do remember him, if you would, please. If not, for just this one day, remember that man's life. He gave it up for you and I. Good night.
Benchwarmers, featuring Dave Schwartz from Care 11 and Jill Hammy.
Will the Timberwolves make the playoffs or the Wild win a Stanley Cup?
So which happens first? I think the Timberwolves make the playoffs first, and I think it's next year. I really do. Maybe a year after that.
I agree with the Wolves making the playoffs first. The Wild still have a goaltending situation. What are they going to do after this season and beyond?
The Benchwarmers, every Sunday morning at 10 on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.